This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
Oh, here we go. It's another week in the trial of Karen Reed, and we're going to break it down where things are at as of this recording, where things might be going, where things have went, what damage has been done, what non-damage has been done thus far. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, here to join us. But before we get into the conversation, of course, we have to thank today's sponsor of the show, Karen Reed Vodka. Karen Reed Vodka, where memory fails, confidence prevails. KR Vodka. Got to get yourself a nice bottle of that, before the day starts. Take a nice little shot in the morning, and the day's going to be good. So, Jennifer.
Yes.
There's been a lot this last week in the trial. I think the thing that stood out to me most was the clip, the unedited long form clip, which I found interesting from the ID docuseries. And this thing wasn't even aired in its entirety. It was only aired in the trial, which makes me wonder, what else are we going to see here that didn't make the air from the cutting room floor? With her going on, making about a 5 to 7 minute explanation of how many drinks she had that night, which of course that's not a healthy relationship with alcohol when you're taking 5 to 7 minutes to explain how many drinks you had. That should be a quick answer. How much damage do you think that did? Doesn't show that she's a killer, but it shows not the best judgment.
Yeah, you know, Tony, this is really important to show motive, if you will. Mm-hmm. Not exactly the motive, but what caused her to take the leap from just being angry to taking action. Mm-hmm. And when individuals see that somebody is that drunk, right? Because mm-hmm. we also got the information regarding her blood alcohol level mm-hmm. hours later and her explanation of her drinking issues. When you put that all together, it shows somebody letting down their guard, right? Not mm-hmm. having the inhibitions they might normally have, by her own admissions, having issues with memory and such. So it just totally, in my opinion, ruined her credibility.
I was shocked by it, and the fact that she even said these things out loud. I mean, it to me, it shows a lot of denial of reality. Again, doesn't show that she killed John O'Keefe, but it shows that she has a real hard time dealing with the real world, what the consequences are for your actions, and believing she can kind of talk her way out of it, which it seems like she was trying to do in that interview. And denial's not a good thing you want to be known for when you're being accused of murdering someone.
Yeah, no, exactly right. I mean, just to listen to her try to explain, if you will, why a drink isn't a drink. It's not a drink, and if it's not a good drink, you just need to pour a shot in it, mm-hmm. and that will make it an average drink. And for her not to understand that that's an issue, and it's not like she did it once, Tony. She
no.
talks about it multiple times and then doing shots. I think the CW has her at 9 mm-hmm. in an hour and 45 minutes, something like that. I think she put herself at 7. Depending on which interview you listen to.
Yes.
No matter what, she's a small woman. I just can't imagine most people would just have severe alcohol poisoning. But of course, when you have a buildup, right, mm-hmm. and you can deal with drinking more alcohol because you drink all the time, you have a tolerance. And that was also made very clear.
Yeah, I'm going to go with very high tolerance on that. What the hell was going on with her attorneys that they said, you can do this. Go ahead. Go talk. And no one is stopping her. I mean, that to me is just the biggest blow your mind moment of all of this. Like, what is going on behind the scenes? I mean, did they just say, yeah, go ahead. Go do your interviews. We're going to stay back here at the office. And even some of the interviews, they're right next to her and they're letting her go on and on and on. What did they think they had to gain out of any of this? None of this needed to be part of this trial, but they created so many problems for themselves. I am baffled by these attorneys.
Well, this is what I think. I think, first of all, that was filmed well over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I say well over a year ago, approximately a year ago. And yeah. I think they thought she would be acquitted.
What an assumption.
By the time they got it done and got it done, I think they, you know, if you play craps, they bet the come.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out for them.
Wow. I mean, what a dumb move, especially for experienced attorneys. I mean, these guys aren't like Saul Goodman operating out of the end of a mini mall. These are experienced, well-paid, you know, well-educated people who've been through a case or two, who know how to argue a case or two. What a stupid bet to make. Now where we see them in court with her and they're playing these clips back, what the hell do you think is going through their minds?
Well, I don't know if you caught it, but on the clip, I think where she describes hitting him mm-hmm. and that he wasn't mortally wounded.
Yeah.
I think it was that clip. You can just see her face is absolutely empty, mm-hmm. meaning, you know, you can just see how upset she is. And Jackson whispers not once, but twice in her ear. And the look on his face, like, you idiot. That's yeah. what I gleaned from it. You'll have to watch it. It's very interesting because Jackson has a lot of expression in his face. And so does Karen Reed. They mm-hmm. just can't help it. They're very expressive people.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'll have to let me know what you think, but it was just like, what an idiot.
Are you talking about Dateline interview, the Dennis Murphy? Because I didn't see Jackson on that one. Maybe you're talking about a different one. Because I can't picture the one where Jackson's in it.
Well, no, he's not in it.
Okay.
But they clipped to him in trial.
You're right. Yes, you're right. They did. Yeah, I will. Let me show it right here. This is, and it doesn't have him in it, but this is just the Dennis Murphy comment. Or wait, when she's with Dennis Murphy. Let's play this, and I want to talk about it on the other side.
He didn't look mortally wounded as far as I could see, but could I have done something that knocked him out and in his drunkenness and in the cold didn't come to again?
And this would have been the moment you dropped him off at the party.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, in trial. Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. Now that came to me. That in itself, right there, he didn't look mortally wounded. They led with that clip, which I thought was pretty good, and I'm sure we're going to see it again. I'm curious if Dateline provided more raw material. I know ID did. I don't know if Dateline did. But, my God, that right there, I mean, she goes from, you know, conjecture and hyperbole of, you know, could I, to an absolute statement. He didn't look mortally wounded when I left him. And I know they're now trying to argue, her defense is trying to argue, that was when you saw him at night, right, Karen? Like that was, or in the morning when you got there, right, Karen? Clearly, it was not that point in time. I mean, it's spelled out.
Two again.
And this would have been the moment you dropped him off at the party.
Yeah.
It's right there.
He didn't look mortally saying
this is the moment you dropped him off at the party. How are they even arguing that? Because it's right there in the clip, like the next line.
Well, Aaron, you know, Alan Jackson is very good of really making what I call spaghetti mm-hmm. out of people's words. You know, it
yeah.
just is a pile in it. And even though they're being honest and truthful, he gets them all mixed up and wrapped up. He can't do that with these mm-hmm. clips. Because
no.
the clips speak for themselves, but yet he's trying to. And it's kind of humorous because he's hoping that by the power of suggestion, he can convince people, and it's not working.
Well, and it's being presented to the jury. It's not like the jury didn't see the Dennis Murphy response either, and her response too. To me, it's another line where it's going down this road of you are only hurting your credibility, because if people start, you're literally lying about what somebody just watched with their own eyes. It's not like it's up for debate. That clip is not up for debate about when she was talking about what she was talking about. It's just, it's not, it's a fact. There it is in her own words. But to go and try and tell a jury or the public, no, that's not what you just saw. then what else are you lying about? Because we haven't even gotten to that yet. We haven't gotten to the story of the house and the dog and everybody and their brother and their cousin. And the first responders are all in on this big lie. It's just kind of baffling how far they think, or he thinks, that he can, you know, mislead a jury.
Well, Tony, though, you're being logical.
Yeah.
And he is hoping that individuals will listen to him and take his word as testimony mm-hmm. and as evidence and as statements, even though they're going to be told not to do that. They do. Mm-hmm. And you can see it when you're on social media.
Yeah.
But Alan Jackson said this. Well, Alan Jackson said that as if it's evidence and mm-hmm. facts, and that isn't how it's supposed to work. But he knows that he's dealing likely with some of those in the jury box that might not understand that.
Yeah.
And the beauty is these clips are going back with them. Mm-hmm. They're in evidence. It's not like they just got to listen to them. They can play them over and over and over again. And I think that's going to be helpful for the prosecution.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. She was a doting mother, the kind who baked cookies, made the best homemade Halloween costumes, and never missed a PTA meeting. The perfect mom. Until the police found something buried in the backyard. A secret she kept for years. A secret she thought would never come to light. The neighbors gasped. Not her. She's so nice. But people forget. Monsters don't always look like monsters. Some wear aprons. Some tuck their kids in at night. And some hide their darkest deeds in places they think no one will ever look. If only someone had heard the warning signs, had recognized the patterns from an eerily similar case on Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. If they had only subscribed to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, they could have listened ad-free before anyone else and saved themselves from baking cookies with a serial killer. Instead, well, they won't be RSVP to this year's PTA meeting. Subscribe now to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts.